The following is intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the show serves as the receipt of or substitute for personalized investment advice from Wealth Quarterback LLC or any other investment professional. Nothing should be construed as specific investing, legal, or tax advice. All investing involves the risk of loss. Please see additional disclosure at the end of this presentation. A copy of Wealth Quarterback LLC's current written disclosure brochure discussing our fees and services is available upon request or at www.jalinsky.org. Hey, everybody, it's Josh Jalinsky, the financial quarterback. On today's playbook, the Ten Commandments meet financial planning. We're breaking down how ancient wisdom shapes today's saving strategies and impacts your wallet. And in extra points, we unveil our own Ten Commandments for personal finance. From scriptures to savings, this is the Financial Quarterback Podcast, tribute to the holy season. Happy Greek Easter, happy Orthodox Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday, and happy Passover. Hi, everybody. This is Josh Jalinsky, the financial quarterback. As we approach Passover, I can't help but think about the Ten Commandments, the old movie with Charlton Heston, and the biblical themes of the Passover. And I wanted to do a financial show looking at the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille. Is that who did it, Josh Fisher? Cecil B. DeMille?
Yes.
You know, we look at it and it's like an old time movie, but at that time it was classic. It was grandiose. It was one of the most expensive movie productions ever, as they recount with some elaboration and reimagination the biblical tale through the eyes of Charlton Heston. Before he was with the NRA, he was a famous movie star. And I think of the beauty, the drama, and it really is a larger-than-life movie. And I think about, as you're watching it on TV or maybe re-engaging it for younger audiences, if you've never seen it, gotta get some of the old classic movies. And that's one of them that you want to watch. And I'm thinking of the themes of the Passover, themes of freedom and economic freedom, as we are burdened by the crushing blow of higher taxation and national debt. And we want to introduce the concept in this episode, exploring the Ten Commandments, focusing on their relevance to financial planning, number one. Foundations of economic wisdom, the division of the Ten Commandments into duties towards God and duties towards fellow humans. And now both aspects can be metaphorically applied to personal and societal economic behaviors. So when you read the Bible and you read the Ten Commandments, even if you're not religious, I want you to have an open mind just to see, well, what can you learn? What can you learn from the Ten Commandments? There are duties to God and there are duties to your fellow man. And God spoke all these words. This is from Exodus 20 in English in the Torah. And God spoke all these words. And I'm reading from a more modern translation, the NIV. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And there are spiritual components, but there is a financial component. Everything in the world is trying to have you be a slave. Josh, you just bought a home, right? California?
I did.
You're a slave now to your mortgage payment.
That's right.
And everybody feels that sort of economic slavery. Why do we feel that today? Well, because once we untethered money from soundness, took our country off the gold standard, we're inflating away what wealth is. So now $1 million is like having 100,000 10 years ago. People feel that. People feel the weight of their mortgage payment. So I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So that's sort of like an exordium. Because of your personal salvation, you can have some economic liberation. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. No idolatry. I would argue that if you are struggling financially, I want to be clear, I'm not committing sacrilege. I'm using the Ten Commandments as like a prism for you to wake up and see your own financial life. What are economic patterns of slavery today? Debt, right? Inflation. You got to live, right? So you need a mortgage. So I'm not saying don't have a mortgage, but avoid credit card debt like the plague. Then I'm going to give you kind of a non-religious take on it, but I want to go into the verses and then go into some of the non-religious aspects. You shall have no other gods before me. Everything in life is theological. So who are you fundamentally as a man, woman, or child? I would argue everyone is a worshiper. You can worship your cat, right? You have a beautiful cat, Josh. Your cat is like your little idol. You feel good. And back in the day, people had little idols, right? That would make them feel good. I'm going to have an idol of clay. I'm going to have an idol of gold. People have that today in the East in certain areas. You know, we had friends from Bangladesh and India, and we lived in a neighborhood. And they had different idols for different things. And Greek mythology had an idol for this and an idol for that. Idol for love, the god of love, god of war, god, whatever, right? Because in reality, you're all worshiping something outside of yourself because we sort of know we don't control our ultimate destiny. It's up to some creator. But how does that apply to money? You shall have no other gods before me. What does that mean? You shall have no other gods before me essentially means that if you are struggling with money, something else is your god. What do I mean? When we say the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses are your idol. The opinions of other people. By the way, the number one people that I meet who come from nothing and have something, I think of a guy and his wife that are clients of mine that others may consider frugal. Great friend. The guy literally drove to my office to park his car for free. So he didn't have to park at the airport because he didn't want to lose money. That guy, you might consider him cheap. I consider him a middle-class millionaire. The same guy also, him and his wife have abundant joy. They're just wonderful people to know. They like their Costco hot dog. That's a nice date for them. What have they learned? The value in life is family, friends. Time spent driving an hour in the car so you avoid a $1,000 parking bill when you're going on a cruise from Bayonne, New Jersey to the Caribbean or to Europe. They don't have other gods like the god of approval of man, fear of man. What are the Joneses? Who cares what the Jones think? You'll never amount to anything financially if you care about what other people think more than God. One of my areas of success financially is that when my other friends were buying nice cars as a status symbol, I did not. I saved and I saved and I saved. The next one, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. So you think that verse 3, you shall not have no idols, no other gods before me. That's essentially putting anything above God. Verse 4 is a little different. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. What that means is you can have the right God in your mind, right? But the wrong practice. So you could know everything in your head financially, but not do it. How is that different? And this is why the Ten Commandments are so timeless, even if you don't believe in them from a biblical theological point. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. If you remember the story of the Exodus, they made a calf, and the calf, they said that was God. So what was kind of interesting is in the old Hebrew, we have the word, you know, Hashem, the tetragrammaton. It is the name that God gave himself, his special name, to Moses in the burning bush. And the idea was that God revealed his unique name to Moses. It was the first time in history. And when the Israelites made the graven image, they violated the next commandment. And what's interesting is they called the idol that name. The name Christians would say today, Yahweh. Some would say Jehovah. Jews would say Hashem. Some call it the Tetragrammaton. Basically, four Hebrew letters. Yod, He, Vav, He. Which if you know the Hebrew, it's almost like you're breathing in, you're breathing out, you're inhaling, you're exhaling. And what's interesting is they called the calf that name. So they didn't say that they didn't believe in the special name of God. They didn't believe in God, but they put a false representation of that God. Don't you know people, you know, they say they believe one thing, but they don't live it. And in a lot of ways, you know, we are all hypocrites. We don't truly fully live up to our full ideals. I always think that's a bad reason to not believe, because we all fall short and have some imperfection and sin nature, theologians would call it. But here's the thing. You could say, I know I'm supposed to get out of debt, right? But you're still doing it. So you could say, I don't value things above God or things above my family, but fundamentally you do. And you need that nice new car. You have shiny object disease. You need the nice handbag. So you could essentially take every commandment. This is also interesting. Tied up in the Ten Commandments, you could also put, it says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents. Interesting economic dialogue here. To the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So you think, whoa, God, that's kind of harsh. You're going to punish my third and fourth generation for something I do, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. What's the financial import here? I would argue that many pockets of life, communities, have generational sin that blocks them from acquiring wealth. You get that keeping up the Joneses syndrome generally from your parents. My mother was a sweet woman, but rather than taking $100 here and $200 there and $600 there and saving it for a rainy day, she would spend it and buy like grills for people or QVC dumb white, you know, air fryers for people. But her motivation was, I guess, to please other people. And so she didn't have rainy day funds. She would say, well, how does that affect sin of the parents? Well, what are you likening? You're likening relationships to money. For some reason, you think you need to buy something for someone to get their love, right? Maybe you didn't get enough love as a kid. Whatever, there are these generational things passed down with money. Frugality can be passed down. Saving, thrift, but showing love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. What I think in some measure it means is, yes, if you love God, there'll be this blessing that will flow to other generations, even if they don't necessarily. But what's unique is you have this wiring within you to give an inheritance. Even if you don't have kids, I want to leave something for my niece or nephew. I want to help them with college. There is this impetus to bless the generations that come after. The next one is, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Basically, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Then remember the Sabbath day. By keeping it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh you shall rest. The seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. And in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. So the idea is, you know, everybody needs a break, right? It will help productivity if you take at least one day off. Check out one day. You can work 6 days like a dog. One day, try to chill out. That will help you work better, have better mental productivity. Notice that it's not the five-day work week of the U.S. or the four-day work week of Europe. So maybe there's value for productivity, right? So God's even saying, hey, you want to get that extra edge? Work that extra day a week. But the seventh, rest. Try to give it a break. There's enormous impact. Think about Chick-fil-A, right? You may not like it. You may not like their sandwiches. I love their sandwiches. You know why? They have MSG. It makes it addicting. But I try to avoid it. They did so well. And they take that seventh day off. And it helps them. You know why? When you're driving by on a Saturday, you're going to go out there and get that Chick-fil-A sandwich because you're thinking to yourself, man, they're closed tomorrow. Hey, this is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. We'll be back after these messages. The 10% Happier podcast is one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? Hosted by Dan Harris, a journalist who had a panic attack on national television and then set out on a journey of transformation. He's now on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. I sound a little bit like him. Every week, Dan talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity in wide-ranging topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. The interviews cover everyone from Brené Brown to Alexander Draymond to Sam Harris. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. Find 10% Happier wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tune in to the financial quarterback, Josh Jelinski, and learn how to protect your financial future in a down economy. Josh and his team at the Jelinski Advisory Group can help you lower your taxes and lower your risk in these uncertain times with a 27-point checklist designed to improve your financial health. Whether you're worried about runaway prices, fear of an upcoming recession, or a stock market meltdown, tune in to the financial quarterback and count on Josh Jelinski to call the play. For a free copy of Josh's book, The Retirement Reality Check, call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674. Or visit Jelinski.org. That's Jalinski.org.
So what do you think so far, Josh? What do you got to talk about?
I mean, I think the first half is the foundations of the economic wisdom, the 1 through 5. And then I think the back half gives us more of a overview on building a better society, building a prosperous future for yourself and for everyone else.
No, exactly. But you think every one of these has some import to financial wisdom. From the Sabbath to idolatry. I saw a report by an atheist that said people not going to church is having a societal problem. Did you see that report? Look it up. It was like in the Atlantic. And he was saying, hey, we're having societal repercussions, higher anxiety, higher depression, higher suicide, because people aren't going to church, not going to synagogue. So they lack this social cohesion and community. You know, COVID's probably part of the blame. People ever doing church on a screen? You ever do church on a screen? Or go to Passover on a screen? It's not that fun. You need to have the haroset with you. You need to have the horseradish on your lips and on your tongue. You need to have the apples and the cinnamon. You know, you need to have the bitter herbs. That's why I love Passover. You are experiencing God on your palate. Do you think that's a coincidence? You're with people and you're getting drunk because you've had four glasses of wine. You're having a good time drinking the grape juice or the wine, but there's a communal experience. Talk to some clients, some of our Jewish clients, they couldn't do all the traditions. And they felt a void. But my point is, I know people who lose their wealth taking care of their kids' psychological problems, drug addiction, whatever. We've all been touched by it. And I think it's been this void of taking God out of society, and you can spend your whole money on these things. Then honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving. Here's the thing, even if you had bad parents, right? It's that old principle of honoring them, giving them a break, because you're going to be parents someday, maybe. You shall not murder. Yeah, it's a big one. If you murder, you're not going to do well financially. You'll be in jail. But even more than that, it's a whole principle of trying not to be angry with people. You shall not commit adultery. Hey, if you commit adultery and you're married, you'll lose half your money in divorce. So there are repercussions both to the, it's called the Decalogue, the 10. There are those, the first set is you and God. The second, you and man, your fellow man, women. You shall not steal, but rather work for wealth. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Nobody likes a gossip. Nobody wants to do business with somebody that they think is going to talk bad about them, right? Because you ever hear about somebody talking bad about people? First thing I think of, what are they saying about me? And then you don't want to do business deals with that person. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or your female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I always like the next verse says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Why did they say that? These things are hard to do, like in the true spirit, right? It might be easy to not commit murder. You might say, I'm not a murderer, but it's hard to not have murder in your heart and to not have anger. You know, it might be easy for you not to commit adultery, but if you look lustfully at a woman in your heart, the idea there is the seed of adultery comes with lust. So the rabbis for years and the Mishnahs, you know, we'll talk about what are the applications of these. But I like the end. Where then Moses says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. In later verses, it talks about the grace of God. That basically, there's that song, Dayenu, right? What does Dayenu mean? Josh, my good Jewish boy.
Dayenu. It would have been enough.
It would have been enough. It would have been sufficient. Did you have to Google that or did you know that?
That's besides the point.
Oh, come on. I was going to be so impressed.
The Maccabees have a good version of it.
We got to play them. Get permission to sing that. So every year at Passover, we go to the Maccabees and my kids love Dayenu from the Maccabees and they love the four questions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that one?
I know the four questions.
Mishnah.
Laila hazeh miko halelo. Put me on American Idol.
There we go.
With the four questions. It's always the youngest person to do it.
Exactly. Why is that, you think?
I always find that interesting. I don't know, because, you know, you can learn from your elders. You know, it gives them an opportunity to understand and process it for themselves.
I think it's a great point. I also think the reason why the youngest does it is memories are formed and kind of seared in your brain at 3 or 4 or 5. People go, I remember this happened to me. My mommy did this. My daddy did this. For both good and positive. My son, he said something that he was like, oh, I'm so glad you did this to me, daddy. I don't know what it was, but he remembered it. And I think it's because that sears something positive into your brain. The feasting, the merriment. So the 4 questions. But it would have been enough is like an acknowledgement that God giving us the 10 commandments was grace. So it's sort of bathed in the fact that God knows we're not going to follow these. That's why he gave us grace. And grace is something that we do not deserve. So give yourself, you know, a little bit of grace with money problems. And in summary, I'm going to go over the 10 commandments again quickly. Let's talk about this from a little bit more of a financial lens. Commandment 1, prioritize your financial goals. You shall have no other gods before me. Prioritizing financial goals according to what truly matters in one's life. Avoiding the worship of materialism. Commandment 2, beware of false idols in wealth. You shall not make for yourself a carved image can mean avoiding the idolization of wealth and material possessions, which can lead to unhealthy financial decisions. 3, integrity in financial dealings. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Maintain integrity and honesty in all financial dealings, avoiding the misuse of promises for personal gain. If you take any scam, right? We're doing shows on scams, pig butchering. You want to subscribe to the show, keep listening. We have good ones coming. What are they appealing to? Your personal desire for either fear or greed. And someone's promising you something that's usually too good to be true. And you're gullible. So you get scammed. Commandment 4, balance work and rest. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Teaches the importance of balancing hard work with rest, emphasizing the need for a sustainable approach to wealth accumulation. Try to avoid burnout. If you need a day off, ask your boss. Commandment 5, respecting authority and economic structure. Honoring your father and mother can be used as a metaphor for understanding and respecting the economic structures and authority in society. Recognizing their role in financial success, and even in a minor point, getting an inheritance, right? If you don't honor your father and mother, you're not going to get an inheritance, generally. I've known people that say, oh, I cut that kid out. They didn't show me any respect. They get nada. So there's even a real, like, very simple point. You shall not murder. You got to value your own life and others around you. Creating a stable and safe environment necessary for economic prosperity and growth. If you're putting all your employees in chemicals, you have asbestos conditions, you know, you're going to have issues, you know. Mesothelioma, you know, there's all those mesothelioma commercials. Well, some people aren't here anymore, so they can't work for you if, you know, they're bad conditions. Jim is looking up at the rafters. I think we're good, Jim. Commandment 7, stability of family and economic growth. You shall not commit adultery is critical to family stability. You know, there's a book called The Millionaire Next Door. You ever read it, Josh?
No.
You got to read it. It's on my top 10 list. What is the top trait of most millionaires? Married to one person for life. Because there's no divorce. Now, we have many divorce listeners. I'm not judging here. But the point is, if you have $1 million and you get divorced, you don't have $1 million anymore. You have 500. And then you go from one household bills to two. It's just difficult. You shall not commit adultery is the importance of stable family structures for economic security and prosperity. Number 8, respect for private property. You shall not steal underlines the significance of property rights and respect for others' possessions, essential for a thriving economy. And I said before, you know, there's an application of that. You don't steal, you'll work. You want something, work harder. Commandment 9, honesty and truth in economic transitions. You got to look out for the general welfare of others as you're constructing a company, things like that. Commandment number 10, contentment and financial health. Never met anybody who was very discontent that had a lot of money because they were like that guy with the $1.99 hot dog. He was content with that. So he was able to save. You shall not covet cultivates contentment and a healthy perspective on wealth. In an era when everybody tries to soak the rich, here's the thing too. I've never met a poor person who got a job from a poor person. So generally, the wealthy are your employers and they got problems, just like everybody does. But cultivating class warfare and envy leads to societal breakdown. Now, each commandment, when interpreted through the lens of financial planning and economic behavior, offers wisdom for achieving a life that is not only financially prosperous, but also balanced and ethical. So I want to encourage you to consider these principles in your own financial life. And this Passover season, watch the Ten Commandments. Break out a 45-minute Haggadah. Make sure to cook that lamb shank. Get the egg. Get the parsley. Get the horseradish. You know, regardless of your religious beliefs, there is some actionable advice. When we first toyed around with this idea of doing a Ten Commandments show, you think, the Ten Commandments, what does that have to do with money? It has more to do with money than you think. Welcome back to Extra Points, where we tackle your financial questions, dive into current money matters, or explore what's buzzing in the financial world, all based on what you, our listeners, are curious about. Josh, what do we have today?
So in keeping with today's topic of the Ten Commandments, I thought we could do our own version of the Ten Commandments and give listeners a Ten Commandments of financial planning.
So based on the original Ten Commandments, we can set a Ten Commandments, if you will, of personal finance that not only aligns with the principles of the Bible to financial planning, but also caters to a broad audience seeking to improve their overall financial health, regardless of spiritual outlook, whether you're spiritual or not. Number 1, budget wisely. Begin with an up-to-date and realistic budget to manage your income and expenses effectively, ensuring you allocate for savings, bills, and leisure responsibly. Number 2, avoid credit card debt or all debt like the plague. Avoid the trap of high interest debt, especially credit cards, by paying off balances every month in full to prevent the accumulation and working diligently to become debt free. Commandment number 3, save 15% of your income. Adopt a pay yourself first approach. Prioritize saving. Allocate a portion of your income to savings before handling other expenses to build a solid financial foundation. Number 4, set smart financial goals. Define specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound financial objectives to guide your savings and investment decisions toward tangible outcomes. Number 5, establish an emergency fund of 6 to 12 months of your expenses. Prepare for unforeseen expenses. If you don't have 6 to 12 months, start with 3 months. If you don't have 3 months, start with 1 month. That will give you financial security so you don't go into credit card debt. Number 6, monitor your credit score. Keep a close watch on your credit score and understand the factors that influence it. Number 7, start saving up to the match max in vehicles like a 401k. If you don't have a 401k, do a Roth. Max out your Roth. or traditional IRA, or backdoor Roth. Benefit from compound interest and don't overlook employer match programs. Number eight, all of this seems overwhelming, but you can set things on autopilot. You can create what's called auto pay, where you go to your employer and you ask for three separate direct deposits. You do a direct deposit for saving, a direct deposit for living, and since we're in the spirit of the holy days, you could even do direct deposit for giving. A lot of people do the 80-10-10 rule. 80% for living or 70% for living, 10 to 20% for saving, and 10% for giving. Number nine, commit to financial education. Our podcast can help you expand your financial knowledge, so share it. You can listen to other books. I have a book, Retirement Reality Check, and articles to make informed decisions and stay ahead of economic changes. 10, seek professional advice when needed. If you call us at 888-988, Josh will help you consult with a registered financial advisor to get your personal goals achieved, to navigate the complex financial challenges. By adhering to these new 10 commandments of finance, you will be able to cultivate a disciplined approach to financial planning with wise management like that owl, strategic saving, and informed investing. This framework not only mirrors some of the ethical and practical wisdom of the 10 commandments, but also offers a roadmap toward achieving greater financial security and prosperity, fostering a life of lesser financial stress and greater economic freedom. I'm Josh Chilinski, the financial quarterback, signing off. Hey there, listeners. Are you up against a financial obstacle or have a burning money question? Here's your shot to not get sacked. Get your questions answered live on the Financial Quarterback Podcast. Just dial 888-988-JOSH and leave us a message with your question or write us an email at info@financialquarterback.us. I might just answer your question live on the air. That's 888-988-5674, 888-988-JOSH, or email us info@financialquarterback.us. Leave us a message and let me help create your game-winning financial plan.
The previous presentation by Wealth Quarterback LLC, WQL, was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that the future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. WQL is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the video content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if WQL is engaged or continues to be engaged to provide investment advisory services. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinski.org.